Hello and welcome to the July 11th, 2005 edition of Race and Nation, brought to you by the American Thule Society. I'm Vice President Daryl Hessler, and I'll be speaking today about the secret kosher food tax increases prices. Every time you purchase an item bearing a tiny U or K imprint or a crafty variation of thereof, you have paid a tax to a rabbinical organization. The general public knows nothing about this hidden tax. The few who are in the know believe that it is a gratuitous public service provided by a local rabbi. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it costs the public multi-millions for a totally unnecessary service. A rabbi approaches a food company and tells them that by paying for the right to use their copyrighted kosher symbol, they call hechshers, Jews will purchase their product over that of a competitor. Often, the rabbi will insinuate that any refusal to go kosher could result in a Jewish boycott of their product. Some say this is a form of blackmail. The truth is that the rabbi is talking about a tiny percentage of the population. No one knows exactly how many Jews are in America, but only about 800,000 are Orthodox and committed to eat kosher products. With America's population approaching 300 million, this is less than 0.3% who seek kosher products. The Jewish Anti-Defamation League belittles criticism of the kosher food tax. They claim that it only amounts to an insignificant sum and does not affect the final cost of the product. The New York Times reported, neither kosher groups will disclose what gross revenues are, nor are corporations anxious to make their payments public. In 1959, the Wall Street Journal quoted Rabbi Harvey Santor as admitting this is a profit-making concern. The Union of Orthodox Rabbis employs 300 rabbis to inspect companies which are kosher. Note here where Campbell's Soup was involved in 10 years of negotiations before they were able to come to an agreement on the cost of going kosher with vegetarian soup only. This should not have been a complicated process, as vegetarian soup does not use milk or meat. Kosher dictates that the two cannot be mixed. Campbell's Soup spokeswoman Julie Mandel-Sloves, herself a Jew, said, "It's a fairly expensive process." Going kosher initiates a series of fees. One, a contract is signed for 1 year and must be renewed annually, usually at a higher rate each year. Two, each company providing various ingredients which goes into the final product must also go kosher and sign similar expensive contracts. Rabbis can inspect the food plant at any time and their travel costs, plus a hefty fee, must be paid. Four, all meat packers must employ a full-time rabbi or a group of rabbis. Note that Campbell agreed to employ a full-time rabbi called a mashgiach. I don't speak Hebrew, so there's my best try. All their other plants nationwide must also be inspected at a huge cost just for one of their soups. Exactly what is kosher? For centuries in old Europe, rabbis would ritually slaughter animals according to tradition, as it is not required by either the Torah or the Talmud, the real Bible of the Jews. Arnold Lees, an authority on Jewish history, says that Jews are a part of the Oriental Armenoid race, which in ancient times also slaughtered animals by slitting their throats from ear to ear without first stunning the poor creatures. The heart is allowed to continue to pump the blood out before it can be stamped as being kosher. This word means fit for a Jew to eat. The kosher slaughter of animals has been condemned by many humane societies throughout Europe. Kosher also forbids Jews from eating pork or shellfish. Prior to the First World War, the Jews only stamped meat with the K, and it was sold only in Jewish butcher shops. They would not dare ask Christians to pay such a tax to their religion. The prophets helped finance local synagogues, Torah schools, old age homes, Jewish funeral homes, etc. In 1919, Joseph Jacobs of New York City came up with a clever advertising scheme. For a fee, he would stamp the K on non-meat products, which would then be sold only in Jewish stores in Jewish neighborhoods. Jacobs was not a rabbi and advertised his small number of products over New York's Yiddish radio station, WEVD. His idea was obviously successful. In 1929, unscrupulous rabbis realized they could make big money by extending the list of heshers to non-meat products. Thus, the Union of Orthodox Rabbis bought the rights to Jacob's advertising scheme. They added a non-biblical requirement. Jews would henceforth be forbidden from eating dairy products with meat, nor are they allowed to be prepared together. This basically is what being kosher is all about. This simple religious rule has been turned into a gigantic multi-million-dollar consumer fraud. It is perpetrated on businesses, which in turn force Gentiles to unwittingly, pay 97% of the tax. It is difficult to determine how much money each food company pays. The rabbis require them to sign a confidentiality agreement to keep it secret. Thus, in the event there is a Jewish competitor, they could be charged less and no one would know. Rabbi Bernard Levi of the OU, the Orthodox Rabbis Association, told the New York Times that an average-sized plant pays about $40,000 just for the right to use the K or U symbols. However, the visits are charged on a separate basis, which Rabbi Levi says are keyed to a frequency of inspection, which could be on a continuous, or daily, or weekly, or monthly, or on a quarterly basis. With no resistance to kosher certification, these cold and calculating rabbis now claim that they have the right to insist that actual meat can, the metal can that the food is in, must also pay to be declared kosher. They have pressured Coca-Cola and other drinks to pay the kosher tax. Also, Reynolds aluminum foil, Glad sandwich bags, cleaning products such as Ivory Liquid, Comet cleanser, Tide, Saran wrap, steel wool, etc. also pay the kosher tax, all non-edible items. This is in contrast to the findings of Mrs. Trude Weiss Rosmarin, a recognized authority on what constitutes kosher. As editor of the Jewish Spectator, she wrote that drinks such as Coca-Cola positively do not require kosher supervision. William Zuckerman, the late editor of the Chicago Jewish Newsletter in 1959, wrote, "How many thousands of dollars flowed into the pockets of unscrupulous or bogus rabbis who make a racket of their religion is still more difficult to tell. If not checked, this racket will one day develop into a scandal which will rock organized Jewry to its foundations." Again, that was by William Zuckerman in 1959, editor of the Chicago Jewish Newsletter. The Jewish Press of February 26, 1988, quotes Jewish kosher spokesman Monachem Lubinsky as stating, "Kosher has become something like the good housekeeping seal of approval. It makes a product appear to be healthier and of better quality." The Washington Post of November 2, 1987, contradicts this in a statement by Bronx Rabbi Shulam Rubin. And he says, and I quote, "Kosher does not taste any better. Kosher isn't healthier. Kosher doesn't have less salmonella. You can eat a Holly Farm chicken, which sells for 39 cents a pound on sale, and next taste a kosher chicken selling for 169 a pound and not tell the difference. There's a lot of money to be made. Religion is not based on logic." In the B'nai B'rith Messenger of April 2, 1965, the messenger warned that a nationally known rabbi who had promised to expose the kosher business was allegedly told to shut up or else. Until the 1960s, the Orthodox Union of Rabbis had a monopoly on kosher certification. One of its certifiers decided to go into the business on his own. He was threatened and fled to Detroit. Today, there are various competing rabbinical kosher certifying groups seeking this multi-million dollar business. However, the Orthodox Union still controls over 50% of all kosher-approved companies. General Foods was also double-taxed. They paid the K organization for the right to use their symbol, but the Orthodox rabbis objected and threatened a boycott. Thus, for a time, General Foods had both the U and the K on their Jell-O products. They had been double-taxed. The Farm Workers Union, under the late Cesar Chavez, called upon the Jews for help in his strike to organize Mexican farm workers. The Orthodox Union in Boston announced that they were withdrawing kosher certification from all lettuce and grape products not picked by members of the union. This form of blackmail has been used to enforce other political decisions. In one case, Post Cereals inserted a small bag of candy in each package as a gift to children. However, the candy had not been declared as kosher. Rabbi Don Yol Levi demanded that all the boxes of cereal be recalled with a promise that it would never happen again. Post quickly withdrew the cereal at a cost of tens of thousands of dollars. The New York Post revealed that the glue on the back of postage stamps included a pork fat-based item. The Orthodox Union of Rabbis is so powerful that they were able to force the U.S. Post Service to switch to a Jewish organization Jewish-owned glue company. Rabbi Rubin boasted, quote, "Now, no Jew will ever be forced to lick pork again." What if the Pope demanded that he be paid for a tiny cross to be imprinted on food products that he would declare as fit for Christians to eat? Can one imagine the uproar this would cause? So why should Christians pay this tax? The K and the U are strictly a tax imposed by a religion. This is prohibited in the separation of church and state doctrine. Remember, the rabbis pay no tax on all of this ill-gotten wealth as it goes to their religion. They are also in violation of the truth in advertising laws. What we have here, folks, is a fraud upon unsuspecting consumers who do not realize that they are paying this ridiculous kosher tax. So what can we do about it as us, as Gentiles? 1. Each product has an address or an 800 toll-free number. Phone these companies and state your objections, state your opinions, tell them that we don't want kosher. Write letters asking how much they pay the rabbinical organizations for kosher approval. Boycott kosher products. I know this isn't easy, but over half the available food items in the stores today do not pay the kosher tax. We should purchase them wherever possible. That's all for now from Studio 88. This is Vice President of the American Thule Society, Daryl Hessler. And if you have any questions, please visit our forum. Thank you.